Guess who's back? It's me, your boy, the Wise Owl. Hello, welcome everybody. Welcome back to the Wise Owl Podcasts. Yep, we are back. We are back, baby. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Wise Owl Podcast with me, your Wise Owl, Harry Edwards. Hello. Welcome, everybody, again. Now, I think there's been a one or two things to have happened since the last time we spoke. I can't remember. No, I'm kidding. It's been an absolute shit show, ladies and gentlemen. An absolute shit show, not only in football, but just in the whole world as well. It has been, from start to finish, a nightmare of epic proportion. If 2020 was a year, it would probably... if 2020 was a disease, it would probably be cancer. It's that bad. It's been that bad of a year. However, today, I'm sitting here with a beer in my hand. A can of beer, anyway. Can of beer, looking out into the sunset on a lovely Thursday night. Now, this week has been pretty good. The sun's been shining, football's come back, and, you know, I was kind of contemplating when I would be making a return to the podcasts. I thought about it for quite a long period of time, is when is the right point. Now, I kind of thought maybe carry on through the coronavirus pandemic and see how things go, but I don't think the world was really wanting podcasts at that time. I think there was a lot of bigger fish to fry than a Wise Owl podcast. Then obviously things happened with football descending into nothingness, so there wasn't anything to do anyway. So I've had a break, as well as everybody else, and I think we've come back probably worse off than what we were. Again, in football terms, in life terms. And this is the podcast, which might be quite a long one, because I want to talk not only about Sheffield Wednesday and not only about football, but in regards to issues which have happened in the past few months. And we all know which issues they are already. If you've been living under a rock somehow for the past 5 or 6 months, then I'm talking about the coronavirus pandemic and obviously the issue with Black Lives Matter. So without further ado, let's spin our way back in regards to the beginning, or the beginning of the end, let's say. So that was probably end of March, maybe a little bit before the end of March. So let's take a look back. Yep, as a football club, Sheffield Wednesday was an absolute shit show. The world was still turning and people were still out and about until around about my birthday. My birthday was the 22nd of March. Now, I booked off work on March the 20th to do a bit of a special podcast. However, I was told on that day that, unfortunately, things are probably not going to be as normal anymore. Things are going to change due to the coronavirus pandemic getting a bit out of hand. We got put on furlough immediately from then, and I was not jobless as such, but I didn't have a job. Other things have happened before then, unfortunately, in the past couple of months to that, in January and the March time, I lost both my grandmothers, my grandma and my nanan, which I like to call them. So that was a really tough time for me. And then obviously not losing the job, but being furloughed. In regards to the size of the company that I work for, I'm not going to tell you who I do work for, but they are relatively small. So it was a bit hard to take into account everything which had happened. And not only this, Wednesday had been doing terrible. It was kind of a bit of a positive that football was about to come to an end, really. I can't even remember what the last game was. Football has just been on the bit of a back burner of my mind. I didn't even know where Wednesday had finished before the coronavirus. All I remember is that it was an absolute diabolical second half of the season. And I'm sure everyone is aware, and I did the podcast previously, is that are we a sinking ship? And maybe we, in regards, maybe I was, everyone thought I was on about Wednesday, but maybe in the scheme of things, is the world a sinking ship? It's been that much of a nightmare this year. So, you know, with the coronavirus, what happened, there's a lot of things to take into account. You know, at the start of it, everybody didn't really expect it to be this bad. You know, everyone kind of thought it may be a bit like swine flu, bird flu, things like that, where, you know, it's not, people are a little bit nervous about it. People might not buy chicken from the shop, maybe, as much. But the world keeps on turning. But in regards to this, I don't think anybody saw this coming. You know, the first, I remember my nan, she passed away on the 11th of March, and we got to see her at the hospital that day. And it was perfectly fine. Everybody was, you know, people were bantering at the time. There was a bit of a classic British heartiness to it, is that, you know, when somebody mentioned it or somebody coughed, they were like, oh, coronavirus, there you go, you got it, blah, blah, blah. And that was it. It was a bit of a joke. It was a running joke. And then within the space of 2 weeks from there to my birthday, pubs were shut, clubs were shut, gyms, schools, football had ceased to exist. Countries had gone on lockdown, you know, such as Italy was an absolute chaotic time, and it was just unbearable for some people. In those times when loved ones had died, and it was just so hard to look at it on the news. And obviously by looking at the media, you don't get the full gist of everything, but it did open your eyes to the world of how lucky, or, well, however unlucky, however you want to see it, is that how lucky I was to see my nanan at the end, where other people are dying in hospital or have been dying in hospital for a long time with no family around them because nobody's allowed to come even anywhere near. I've been thinking about a lot of people. There's a lot of people that I know who have been in hospital, not necessarily for coronavirus, but have been in hospital, and it's been very tough for their family and friends to get anywhere near them. There's some people that I know whose mothers, whose sons have died, and nobody's been by their side when they have finally passed. And it's heartbreaking that something like this, that was started out as a bit of a wholehearted joke, turned into such chaos. And true, there's still a lot of people out there that think, you know, it wasn't as bad as it could have been. You never know how high the death toll could have been. I mean, there's loads of opinions on when the lockdown should have happened, how long it should have been done for. These arguments between the old and the young, between when they should go out. You know, you have the young ones who are fit enough and think, I'm not going to get it, and even if I do, I'll be fine, so let me go out. And the old people are more on the side of, I've survived a war, I'll survive this one as well. You know, you kind of, and even, you know, the middle-aged people in the world have thought the same thing, in different aspects, is that I need to work, I need to go out and earn some money. I cannot let my family go into nothingness like the world is currently. And then you have the other half of people who are really cautious about coronavirus, which is rightfully so. Just saying that nobody should be allowed out. The country should be on complete lockdown. And this is how it started. There was, you know, for about a week or two, possibly, there was a lot of stuff which was up in the air. You know, you saw the media coming in from China and Italy and places like that, that countries had just been put on lockdown and nothing was happening and thousands were dying. And you looked at Italy and thought, well, we're not going to be as bad as that. But who's had more deaths? We have. We've had way more deaths. We've had way more issues with it. Whether our government have tackled it correctly, I'm not sure. I mean, personally, I think whoever's managed this has had the hardest job of all time. I wouldn't want to do it, and I'm sure nobody else would have wanted to do it either. So, as much as I am not a Tory, I am definitely not a Tory. I don't really believe in politics, to be fair, myself. I try to keep out of that field. But I think whoever was in charge tried to do the right thing at the time. And obviously, you've got to understand that with Boris, the issues, obviously, with him having coronavirus, he were out for 2 weeks. How much involved he was at that stage, I'm not sure. But there was many arguments which came up and down the country, is that maybe we should have gone into lockdown a week earlier. And I believe we should have. But even if we did, how many lives would that save? That it would have saved lives, I'm probably sure of it. But how many? How many? Even if, let's say, 20% less. So we're on about 45,000 deaths at the moment, give or take a couple of thousand. We added another week on, maybe, if we did well, might have saved 20%. 20% of that is still a lot. It's still probably just as much as Italy, if not more, without having the stats in front of me. So there was something really wrong with England and the UK. England was severely hit with it. And I'm not sure how that was, whether, you know, I mean, this isn't anything against Italy or Spain, but, you know, when us over here, you always seem to be like we're more of a environmentally friendly country compared to places like Italy and Spain. You know, countries that take into account cleanliness in the streets a little bit more. And in regards to Italy, Italy's more of a place that everybody knows everybody. People know people on the streets, you know. People round here, I'm sure you wouldn't say you know all your neighbours like friends and family. You probably know the names, and you might know the kids' names, and you might know how long they've lived there, but that's probably it. But I think in places like Italy and Spain, the more, you know, they can go around for dinner and go around for tea a lot of the nights. And there's a lot more conversing. You know, England are a bit more shy, I would say, than other countries, especially the countries that got it. So I don't understand how we got it more. We were affected more by it. We may not be more environmentally friendly than Italy, but from a personal point of view and from what you see in the media, is that we seem more clean, more of a clean country. You know, when you go to Spain, you always think that, oh God, don't drink the water because it's, you know, it makes you shit your pants. So make sure to get bottled water. But when you come over here, the tap water's fine. So, you know, I'm not sure what happened. I'm not sure how well we dealt with it. Maybe we should have put in bigger restrictions and earlier, which a lot of the argument is about. But is there any more to that? Is there more issues than just that? Why were we affected most by the coronavirus in the whole of the world? Why have we had the most amount of deaths per capita? I know I can't answer that. No one will be able to answer that. Maybe people know why. Maybe scientists can give us a gist on that. But however, the only thing we do know is that it absolutely put a stop to everything. We were set to go on holiday, me and my missus, to Italy. That didn't happen. People have cancelled the holidays. People are staying at home. You know, mental health has been a massive thing in regards to many people that I am aware of. People have struggled not seeing friends, not seeing family, especially the elderly who are only on their own, who can't see anybody. It's just put a complete dampener on the whole of this year. Even if the next 4 months are the best months that anyone could ever think of, 2020 was still a complete shit show. And it's hard to understand how difficult it has been, and how difficult it's been for people who are key workers, such as the NHS and ambulance drivers, paramedics, people who work in the NHS all the way through, teachers, police officers, firemen, posties, anybody who's been keeping this country going, supermarket workers. I mean, honestly, I can't thank the NHS, the supermarkets enough for what they've done. They've kept this country going and we are going to get hit. We probably are going to get hit with a massive recession, possibly, from what it sounds like. But these things have had to be done to keep everybody going. You know, why some people stay at home and sit on their asses, basically, like myself. Some people have been out there saving the world, and in very small ways they feel, but in the grand scheme of things is that they've been stocking up the shelves so elderly people can eat and drink and survive in this time. And it's, they are still real heroes out there, and there is still real people who want to help. And I just cannot thank the NHS and everybody enough for what they've done for this country. It's just, it's a fantastic effort what everybody's put in. And even the people who have been at home, even though we have been sitting on our asses, we have been helping not increase the death rates. Some people who could have who would have died haven't died because people have stayed at home. Now, across the UK, people haven't been staying at home. You know, people have been making bubbles with other houses for many moons. And you know, it's hard. It's hard not to blame people to do that. But it had to be done. It had to be done. So it's, you know, we're still in it. We're not over it yet. But things look like they're taking a step back to becoming normal. You know, I'm probably looking about going back to work next month. So it's a real positive to get back to normality. And I'm sure everybody else is wanting to do that as well. And I just had to say that about the NHS. They've been absolutely fantastic. And the coronavirus still carries on. Still not over, still won't be over, I'm sure, for quite a long time. There isn't a vaccine that's been found as of yet. Things which do help in regards to the end of life type side of things, but in regards to curable vaccines, there isn't any. So there is still the possibility of a second wave, and whether that comes in the winter, you know, when viruses can survive a bit more in the cold than what they do in the heat, maybe that might be a thing. So we've got to prepare in that time and got to be ready. And as I said earlier, I am not a Tory. I'm not a person who really looks into politics at all. I don't like to. Same with religion. It's not. I completely understand why people follow politics, why people follow religions and things like that, and it is completely each to their own. But I feel like the two biggest things which creates arguments and pain and stress is politics and religion. And if you can, it's a bit selfish, but out of sight, out of mind is really good to do, in my opinion. I'd rather just talk about football, but I think these things need to be said. But anyway, I'm waddling on here, but yeah, I'm not a Tory, but I just want to say thank you to Rishi Sunak, and I think a lot of people are going to go against me on this, but I do want to say a massive thank you to Rishi Sunak. If Rishi didn't do what he did for furloughed people, I would be out of a job. I wouldn't be able to still have the hope of moving out into my own house next year, starting my life, and have the job which I've loved, the only job that I've loved, which I've done. And I know it might cause a massive recession, and we've got to be prepared for that, but he's kept me in a job. He's kept the loveliest, friendly people that I know who work with me and for me in a job as well. And again, I cannot thank him enough. So, yeah, I mean, the coronavirus, it still goes on, but I'd just like to say that I believe that this country has tried to do everything they could. Whether that is the best we could have done, that's up to debate. But I think we've tried. And trying is the only thing that people can do at the end of the day. And you might not think that trying is good enough when lives are on the line, but what else have we got? At least we've got somebody who wants to try. But there you go. And then we come on to the next issue, which has been also like a virus, just as bad, is the racism virus. It's always been about in football. It's always been knocking about for years and years, and not only to black people, but to Asians and to even white people to an extent. However, the reason why that is so, or such a forefront of the news at the moment, is due to the killing of George Floyd and Breonna Taylor. And I could go on with way more names on what's happened. And if you've seen the video, it's horrendous. It's absolutely disgusting. I wouldn't advise watching it, to be fair. I think people are aware of what happened. But the problem is, and the problem, these many black people, ethnic people of ethnic minority or any minorities that are succumbed to racism every single day. Things what these a George Floyd probably every single day, but the difference with George Floyd compared to other people is that he was murdered by the people that should be protecting him. He was murdered by the police. And I'm sure everybody is aware of that at the moment. But when you don't know whether to trust the people who are trying to look after you, who have you got? Who have you got? Something like this happened in 1987, I believe, maybe 1988, in America as well. Unfortunately, I do not remember the man's name, but he was battered. Well, he was battered with truncheons, and he was a black man, and he died in the same way by the hands of the police. And obviously, America have got things completely wrong with things like that. And it needs to be changed. And people, you can see the protests which are going on all over the world. Protests have happened in Sheffield for George Floyd. That's how big this has got. It's massive. And racism has always been there. I talked about racism once before when there were a bit the racism controversy with Forestieri and one of the Mansfield players in a pre-season game, which lasted ages. But pre-season lawsuit which lasted for ages, but racism is unacceptable. But unfortunately, racists will always be there. But the main thing which has happened in this time is that things have gone from stopping racism to stopping everything. Now, you may have heard in the news of the statue in Bristol of a previously known slave trader, and that statue was taken down, which I've got to admit I do agree with. I maybe don't agree with the way that they did it, but I think it should have been taken down. I mean, obviously, writing to the council saying, can you please take this down, please, and waiting 6 or 7 months to get one of the builders to saw his legs off, that's not very impactful. So I can completely understand why they did it in the way that they did, but that causes tensions, and that split people. Things like this have split people. Everyone was on the same side. It was everybody versus racist. And even though I don't agree with that saying, because everybody includes racists, but you know what I mean. Everyone was on the same side. Everybody was against those people who killed George Floyd. And then things progressed from there. People started to change and go towards other racist and slave traders as such. The statues. And people went direct to TV shows such as Little Britain, which used blackface in there, and other TV shows that has been taken down from Netflix. And it became incredibly strange. Hundreds of celebrities have apologised for previous actions, what they've done. And it has got out of hand. Now, it's a difficult subject to talk on it, and especially as me as a white man, I have absolutely zero influence on this, and I shouldn't have, because I am a white man. Racism is against blacks, so anybody who is white should not have any opinion on the matter. What black people say in this instance, what they feel like, we should follow suit. If they believe that a statue should be taken down, we should take that statue down together. If they say Black Lives Matter, we say Black Lives Matter. However you say it. True, people, another thing that people have been complaining about is the phrase Black Lives Matter. And they do, of course they do. But now people are saying All Lives Matter or White Lives Matter too. And this is just preposterous. It's ridiculous. Because all lives obviously matter. Black lives matter. But some people forget that. People are racists. Some people are racists. And people forget that. Those people forget it. That's why you need to shove it in their face saying Black lives matter. That's the reason why. Everybody knows that all lives matter. Everybody knows that white lives matter. But not everybody knows that black lives matter. And that's what they're trying to get across. That's what the black community is trying to get across, because people forget. And in the year 2020, it's ridiculous that people are even... we're even having to do this, especially at the time of a complete pandemic where people are going outside and protesting in thousands and thousands of numbers in the middle of a fucking pandemic. It's stupid. It's completely stupid. I completely disagree with the protesting which has gone on in the recent few weeks, because it's just craving for a second wave. But because people are so fucking stupid to be racist, we have to do this. We have to do it to take a stand and make a point. And then it's all over the news, because the people who are less open to the idea of Black Lives Matter, it gets them acknowledging it. People saying, because you've got one side of the population who are saying, we need to protest this, we need to say Black Lives Matter, and we need to make sure people all know this and the black community is heard and things are changed so everybody is equal. But not only blacks, women and homosexuals and trans people and everybody, to make sure everybody is completely equal in everything. Now, they say it in a way that it sounds quite communist, but it's not. People, obviously, there's going to be differences. You know, you won't pay the a binman the same you pay the CEO for Google. You just won't. You won't pay an army man the same price as a footballer, even though it should be the other way around. The army should be getting paid the footballer's wage and the footballer should be getting the army's wage. However, that's another story for another day. But you know what I mean. And there's obviously going to be some capitalism to it. People are higher up than other people. But people shouldn't be higher up because of the colour of the skin, because of the sexual orientation, because of what gender they are. That shouldn't be a thing. People shouldn't be disciplined for having more tattoos than no tattoos, or dyed hair with no dyed hair, or piercings or no piercings. Not even that. Or wearing rough looking suits, like a tracksuit compared to a normal suit. People have got to see people in the same light. People's got to not judge books by their cover. It's one of the most classic phrases of all time. Do not judge a book by its cover. You judge a person on how they are and who they are inside. And that's what you've got to understand. That is the beauty of life. You've got to understand that everybody's different. And you've got to appreciate that. Than bullying someone or making fun of them because they are different. In whatever way they are. Now, it's, again, as I say, I have no reason to even be commenting on the matter because of the colour of my skin. It's something that black people should take a stand and speech for themselves. However, in regards to protests, that's when the white people can get involved. To join forces with the ethnic minorities, come together and stand up against the racists. Now, a lot of people over time have struggled with the changes that happened. You know, there's things what you could do previously, what you can't do now, such as TV. You know, the Little Britain thing, 10, 15 years ago it was fine, and now it's not. That's what people's idea was. It was never fine. It's just that majority of the population was younger. You know, the older population, sorry, was younger. So those people are the majority of the population, where racism was a bit of a joke sometimes. But now people are switching on to it. The new generations are switching on and acknowledging it. And yes, I still believe, I don't believe that Little Britain and things like that should be taken off television completely. I think there should be something there to say, look, this may involve something which may some people may find offensive, and we do not agree with this, but it should not be taken off TV. Little Britain, for that one bit, take off those sketches. Little Britain was a sketch show. Take off those sketches where they do the blackface in and keep everything else in. Don't just completely bin off one of the greatest shows of all time. You know, it was almost thinking about making a comeback until all this happened. You look at Keith Lemon, Leigh Francis, he has apologised for Bo Selecta. Papa Crimbo, he's probably one of the most famous UK Christmas songs of all time. What are people going to do this year? Just never play it? Possibly. It's hard. It is hard, especially for people of not an ethnic minority to understand everything what's going on. You know, how things can be all right 20 years ago, but not all right now. And that's difficult for people to understand because, you know, if you're told to do something one day and then told to do something completely different another day, and that thing what you were originally doing is wrong, you'd be like, what are you on about? I've always done this. But times change. And I think with the coronavirus, I think once things are back to normal, or normal in speech marks, I think it'd be a good time to start afresh, to be more environmentally friendly, to be more accepting of others, to be more peaceful with everybody else. And whether that happens or not, I'm not sure. There'll always be something to complain about, but hopefully we can improve on what's happened in the past few months. It's been just dreadful in all aspects, and that's what we need to protest. We need to protest against the pain that has been caused by everything what's been going on. And it's hard to think of the words right now to get them across to you, because it's reflecting on the past few months, it's just been horrible. But there's a bit of light right now. There is light at the end of the tunnel. And I'm sure other people who are listening to this podcast, as well as myself, have struggled with the physical, mental health and their ability to have motivation and to care. I think that's a big ask, is that why are people not caring anymore? Because people have lost motivation. People feel low. And that is hard to fight against a virus and racism. It's really hard. But at least there's something out there to fight for. And I think in its weird ways, the coronavirus and this Black Lives Matter movement has really got people off their arses again. Might have just give that electric shock to start up this country again, economy-wise and passion-wise, and how England used to be before the lockdown. But, it's been hard, and hopefully everybody has managed to get through it day by day. But, anyway, that's it for the Black Lives Matter piece. But, I guess it's time to go on to Wednesday, eh? Go on, then. By the way, before I do start on the Sheffield Wednesday part of the podcast, which is the main podcast point, I'd just like to say it has been a long time since I have done these podcasts, so this podcast might not be very good. It's a very long one. I do drivel on a bit, so I do apologise for just chomping your heads off. If you have lasted this far, congratulations, because I take my hat off to you. But I just thought it'd be nice to see the point of a young man on what he feels at this time and how the coronavirus has, and the Black Lives Matter movement has affected him. But anyway, back onto football. Football is back, not in the same light. Without fans and people there and going to the matches, it's just not the same. When Bundesliga came back, I wasn't 100% confident. I was a bit like, oh, it's Bundesliga, it's not the same, it'll probably be shite. And it was. I probably watched the first 30 minutes of the Borussia Dortmund Schalke game and I thought, you know what, I'm not that arsed. I didn't watch it. I didn't watch any other Bundesliga. I've watched a lot of Premier League since it's been back. It's good to have English football back. I watched the Wednesday game. A decent performance by the Owls. Better than what we did before pre-season. Looks like Connor Wickham has lost a bit of timber as well, so he might play a little bit better than what he did. But yeah, overall, it was a decent performance against a good side this season. And but yeah, I mean... The thing what I've realised over this time is that really, football's not the same as it used to be. Even before the coronavirus, football isn't as good as it used to be. I reckon the peak was probably about 2011, 2012 season, maybe 2013 at a push. And then it just started to get a bit downhill, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know, you know, there has been good times completely, you know, Wednesday, getting to the playoffs, playoff final and under Carlos that era, that was fantastic. But football in general is just not the same vibe. I don't know why. I could take it or leave it sometimes. The thing what I miss about football is not the actual sport. It's the going out and meeting your family and friends and having a few pints and going to the match and meeting people who are around you. Have something to eat at the match, have a few more pints, then going out after to drown your sorrows or celebrate, depending on what the result were. But really, other than result, you don't really talk a lot about football. You know, it's something to... You love your club, you love your team, but nobody says I ever love the sport anymore. You know... And sometimes the Premier League, I can take it or leave it. I can take it or leave it. You know, the Arsenal-Southampton game today, I watched the first half and then I'm like, you know what, I can't be arsed to watch the second half. I'd rather just do this podcast. So it's, I don't know, it's whether I'm just losing the faith for Wednesday at the moment or just had enough in general of this year. But anyway, Wednesday are back. However, it's not the end for Wednesday. Are Wednesday a sinking ship? That was the question in the last podcast. I'm not sure. There is lots of things to say that we are one, but whether we are, we'll have to wait and see. The EFL have just started their preliminary proceedings against us, and which happened on Tuesday this week, and we should have an answer by... three or four games before the end of the season, what it sounds like, according to Alan Nixon and Andy Giddings and people like that on Twitter. So we should know where we stand. Wednesday, as always, said they're quite positive to get a decent result. They've managed to sign the Lionel Messi of the Lionel Messi of sports lawsuits. So he, I forgot his name, but he was a director at QPR for in 2007 for some time. And he also worked with Massimo Cellino, who used to be the old Leeds chairman when he got done by the EFL. And also he's worked with Jordan Henderson in regards to a claim that he had a few years back. And he's also representing Derby County for the FFP issues, which they've been affected by. But not only this, he's actually representing Richard Keogh for unfair dismissal on Derby as well. So it's just like, it's just crazy, absolutely crazy, but that's what football is. But anyway, hopefully he might be able to swindle us out of this shithole that we've got ourselves in. But it's whatever happens, it's a light for Chancery and the club to, and the fans really, to understand that, you know, we can't buy his way through. And Chancery has always said that he wants to spend as much money as he can, and he did, and he's got done for it. But well, he's escaped getting done for it. But the club might get done, so we'll have to see what happens. These has been talk from 3 points to 21 points deduction coming this season or next season. I think it depends how it's happened. I think with the coronavirus, we might have got away with it this season. I personally think we may get a points deduction, but next season at the start. I reckon it could be 12 points, but from the start of next season. Now, if it happened at the start and we start off pretty well, that's only 4 wins. You can get out of that mess. You can get out of that. You won't go up. But if you had a good season, you could do all right. You could get yourself ticking over. However, whether that's possible or not, I'm not sure. But there has been talk. I was speaking to my dad, and my dad believes that it's going to be a points deduction this season. And whether it is, that's a big problem. And it would be typical Wednesday fashion to, you know, get the points deduction with 3 games remaining, need 9 points to stay up, something like that, win 2 games and then have Middlesbrough last game where Warnock's in charge, for fuck's sake. That'd be typical Wednesday or something like that, Christ. But yeah, I mean, whatever happens, obviously I think we're due it, really. I don't think people can complain about, you know, we broke the rules. We spent over, it's just how we broke them. If we found a loophole where we spent too much completely, but if we did that loophole in the right way, where it did show that we did have a transfer profit, then we'd be fine. But anyway, we want to say that we can stay up, but we could be in 3 different leagues next season. We're 8 points off the playoffs, we're 8 points off the relegation zone, so with points deduction, we could be in League 1. No points deduction, we could be in the same league. Or if we just finish the season off complete, like, you know, win every game till the end and go on a mad run like we did at the start of the season, could be playoffs. But in recent times, there has been some announcements on players leaving or players' contracts, etc. In regards to the under-23s, there weren't many big names that were announced to be released. Connor Kirby was one, Borikov was one, and Jack Stobbs there were probably the big three, I would say, that I think I can think of at the moment. You know, Connor Kirby played a couple of games under Joss, wasn't very, you know, was average. I think he could be maybe a League One, possibly League Two, possibly League One player, but not Wednesday standard. Jack Stobbs, getting on a bit now, has been loaned out a lot of times, needs to kind of make a bit of a solid move. Borikov, were a little bit of a shock because he was talked about being the next best thing that we had. But from what I've seen in the under-23s, I didn't really see it myself, but he did get into the team a couple of times. I think he did play, I think he did come on once, actually, under Joss as well, but I don't think he would have been good enough. I really don't. I think the best young talent that we've got is Alex Hunt. I've seen him I saw him at City. I thought he played very, very well then. So I'm not sure, but the big contracts were revealed the other day, where Paul Jones, Niuiu, and it was the other one. Oh God, I should have wrote these down. I always say I should write them down and I don't. Kieran Lee, that's it, came to my mind. Fletcher, Fox and Forestieri were all offered new contracts, but they all declined them. And then Winnell and Hutchinson are set to be released by the club. So, we'll go through them. So, with the people who have signed new contracts, you got Niriu, Kieran Lee and Paul Jones. What links them all three together? All on very, very low wages. All pretty, you know, Paul Jones obviously knows he's not going to get a game, but on a decent amount of wage for basically doing fuck all week. And obviously with Paul Jones signing a contract, that obviously means that I don't think we're going to be buying any more keepers. Westwood's not out of contract, but don't look like he's getting anywhere near the squad. So it looks like Gary Monk, whether he's here next season or not, I'm not sure whether he will be, but we'll talk about that a bit later. Looks like he's going to try and keep with Wildsmith and Dawson. I do generally think that both keepers are good keepers. However, Dawson's had a bit of a nightmare this season. Wildsmith not really had a chance, but he's, you know, he had a good game against City when he played against him, and obviously he played against Forest and had an okay game there as well. But in the long run, I don't think they're going to be as good as Westwood. You know, Dawson's taller and more of a keeper in regards to managing his box. However, he's not very good at kicking, nowhere near as good at kicking as Wildsmith. He really needs to sort his kicking out, especially in this day and age. And his decision-making is appalling. I think that'll affect him. In regards to Wildsmith's better at kicking and better at decision-making, but maybe his height might affect him. But, you know, Westwood were never a massive keeper, but always did really well for us, so you never know. I think, personally, I've always preferred Wildsmith to Dawson. Not only because of this season, I would even say that before. Even if you hear one of my old podcasts at the start of this season, I think I did say that I prefer Wildsmith as the sub to Westwood. I would obviously pick Westwood first, but however, with Westwood, I think that he has gone downhill in the past few months. The last few months he played, really. I think he were coming to the end anyway. But he would have been a good subkeeper, Westwood. Someone to train with Dalton and Wildsmith, so I don't know. In regards to Kieran Lee and Niriu, again, both similar players. You know, Niriu's not on a massive amount of money. Niriu is also a manager's dream. Someone who will work the socks off and gets other players in play. He won't necessarily score a lot. You know, he had that purple patch a couple of seasons ago. But other than that, he's not really done anything. But, you know, I think for the money that he's on and to have at least a striker who doesn't get injured, he's quite good to have in your team. Maybe not starting, but he would be a good guy to bring on. And then you have the likes of Kieran Lee. Again, the same. He has done it for us. Kieran Lee was probably, in that season where we got to the playoff final, I think he was probably one of the best centre mids that we had. He's never really looked at constantly, but or fond of constantly by the fans, because he never really gets involved in it. You know, he's not like Bannon, where he might bang a 40-yarder in or smash a 40-yard pass upfield, or weren't like Hutchinson, who like dived in and made some fantastic tackles. But Kieran Lee linked the play. He ran as well, and I think, other than the past year, I don't think I've ever seen him have a bad game. He was one of my favourite players, and I think he was my dad's favourite player. So, but yeah, again, he won't be on massive amounts of money. He's getting on a bit as well. A good player to kind of have as a sub. And also, when you have Alex Hunt, who's coming into the team, you might think, might try and give this lad a bit of time. So you've got someone who's getting on a bit, who can't play every week in, week out, but has got that talent there. You've got Kieran Lee coming in, and you've got someone who's young, who's a bit inexperienced, but needs to get a lot of game time. Alex Hunt, you could keep swapping them in and out, depending on how good you do. But both a similar type of player as well. I think Alex Hunt's maybe a bit more of a player who links the play a bit more than Kieran Lee. Kieran Lee's a bit more of a attacking-minded midfielder, but not a cam as such. But I think those three, for the wages that they're probably on, I think they were probably, you know, I don't think there's any skin off his back keeping them on. I think they're quite conservative signings. You know that Kieran Lee has done it for us before. You know, those three players are not going to get us promoted, obviously. But to have a bit of squad depth in those players is good. But to build on it, that's where we need to do. And building on it was what we were trying to do to keep players such as Fox, Fletcher and Forestieri. However, they all declined the contracts. I reckon mainly, well, especially in Forestieri's and Fletcher's sense, maybe it was probably because they weren't offered enough. Maybe Fox to a degree as well. However, maybe because of the issues that have been going on at the club in regards to things like, you know, the chance that we might get a big points deduction and get relegated, and Stephen Fletcher and Forestieri think, hold on a minute, I don't really want to be playing League One football next season. Christ. And maybe even Morgan Fox to a degree. But, you know, I think Fletcher's getting on. Everybody bigs up Fletcher. I have bigged him up this season because he's done it for us. But the only reason why he's been bigged up is because nobody else has. Everybody else has been shite. And you can't rely on a 34-year-old man to carry your team, or 35 nearly. Forestieri obviously has shown for a number of years that he doesn't really want to play for us. I don't know how that's come about, but, you know, it's obvious that it's always been a bit of a sinking ship for Forestieri, which you've got to understand. And obviously, he's probably thinking, I don't want to play League One football, so wants to move on. So those two I can completely understand. Morgan Fox, not sure why he may be disagreeing. Maybe he don't want to play League One. Maybe we didn't offer him enough. Obviously, he has had a good season this season. He played very well last season on the second half of it. But is he a left-back to get us promoted? Absolutely not. I don't think he's anywhere near good enough. Yes, he's been bigged up this season, but Fox is nowhere near good enough. He has got the mentality of someone who you'd like in your club, but physique-wise and talent-wise, absolutely not. You don't... If Wednesday you're trying to keep on someone who doesn't want to play for him, someone who's nearly as old as my dad, and somebody who is just not good enough, who probably won't get in many left-back positions in the league, then Wednesday don't have a lot of ambition at the moment, if you want to keep them on. True, including keeping the people. But to get rid of those wages is a massive thing. Obviously, releasing Sam Will and Hutchinson, they're big calls as well. But what has Sam Will done for us? Just taking up a wage for us. Send him on. He's had his chance. He's not done it. You'd probably do the same with Rhodes, but Rhodes has got another season left. So in regards to that, I think you've got to try and get Rhodes back into the squad and just play him and see what he does. I mean, he's probably past his time, but I've got to admit, having Nuiu and Rhodes together, I think they were probably the best partnership for Rhodes, really, or maybe Fletcher to a degree. But Rhodes has always played better with someone tall beside him. So we need to, if we want to try and get Rhodes into things, we need to try and help him out a bit. But obviously, Hutchinson's been out of the club, out of the team quite a lot, same as Westwood. I don't know whether it's the attitude of both those players, I'm not sure. But, you know, Hutchinson's getting on. Hutchinson has always been a really good player for us because he brings something different to the table. He's 10 times better than Pelle Pessi. I don't like Pelle Pessi at all. I don't think he's good enough. But Luongo could be as good as Hutchinson. Hutchinson were a bit more of a bulldog, but Luongo has got that ability in him as well. But yeah, people like Hutchinson are... I think it is his time. I think with Westwood, I think you do the same, is that just cut ties. What's the point of having people in your squad who are just not going to play, like Winnell and Hutch? So as much as I loved Hutchinson and how much of a great career he had at Wednesday and how much he's done for us, and I would like to thank him in, you know, having one more game back, but unfortunately, I don't think that's how it's going to work. I think the decisions have been right. But, that's the only thing that have happened so far in regards to Wednesday. Currently, anyway. But, yeah, hopefully there's a few more games left, so we can maybe try and get enough points to try and keep us up to be ready for a points deduction, whether it comes this season or next season, I'm not sure. But the main thing what we need to do, I'm not sure how much money we've got left or got to use in regards to, you know, sorting us out with the new signings for next season. But, I mean, we'll just have to see. That's all I can say at the moment. But, yeah, thank you, anyway, for listening to the podcast. I know it's been a bit of a long one, but I've been gone for a long time. But, you know, in regards to more podcasts, I'm not sure. Let me know if you want me to do more podcasts. You know, on my last podcast, I got a lot of views, so I really appreciate that. And I also thank everybody for keeping with me and sticking with me on Twitter and Instagram and places like that. I really do appreciate it, even though I've been very, very quiet recently. But a lot of people have on social media, so I just want to thank people for that. Let me know if you want another podcast. And yeah, Bristol City away on Sunday as well, on the telly, Sky Sports, get it locked in, iFollow if you've got it. But yeah, I might do a podcast for that, but I'm thankful for anybody who's listened all the way through this to listen to the opinions that I've got. And all my opinions might not be right, but thank you anyway for sticking through with them anyway. So anyway, I will see you when I see you. Take care. Up the owls!